Watch your step before getting onto the boat. It's going to be a little bumpy. My name is Caitlin, and I'll be the captain of today's voyage on the Whale Watching Experience. I will also act as your translator. Yes, you heard that right. Your translator. I can speak whale. Ooh, there's one now. Let's take a listen. It's trying to say hi. Look, it's trying to wave at us. Now it's saying... You're listening to WONY Oneonta 90.9 FM Red Dragon Radio. That's kind of random, but all right. Uh-oh. It's lifting its flipper. It's too close to the boat. Oh, my God. It's going to splash. Ugh. Keep it locked.
I was 11 years old at my first national championships. I fell I don't know how many times.
Michelle Kwan is the most decorated figure skater in U.S. history.
When I had a dream, my dream came true because I dedicated myself.
Dedication made Michelle Kwan a champion.
I was passionate about something and I made sure that I worked hard for it.
And dedication can make your dreams a reality.
Whatever your dream and goals are, they can come true.
Dedication is in you. Now pass it on from PassItOn.com.
Hey everyone, you're listening to the WONY Weekly Update. Here's some upcoming events to look forward to. On Wednesday, March 25th, women's lacrosse plays Morrisville at the Red Dragon Field at 4 p.m. Also at 4 p.m., men's lacrosse plays Geneseo at the All College Field. On Thursday, March 26th, the softball team plays RPI at Red Dragon Softball Field at 3 p.m. Also on Thursday, the first showing of The Shape of Things is happening at 7:30 in the Hamblin Theater. More showings are also happening on Friday and Saturday at 7:30 p.m. and Sunday at 2 p.m. Tickets are available online or at the ticket booth in Fine Arts. On Friday, March 27th, the Art Department, in collaboration with the galleries, is hosting an art-focused career day from 11 a.m. to 4 p.m. All current students and recent graduates are invited to attend and learn more about networking, career building, and have an opportunity to ask professional developmental questions. This event will be hosted in the Martin Mullen Gallery and the Computer Lab, Room 321 in Fine Arts. On Saturday, March 28th, men's lacrosse plays Potsdam at the Red Dragon Field at 1 p.m. Also happening at 1, the baseball team plays Brockport at the Red Dragon Baseball Field. On Sunday, March 29th, join WONY for our general body meeting happening in Fitzell Hall, Room 303 at 3 p.m. The Empire State Service Corps is looking for students to serve 300 hours of public service next academic year. Gain leadership skills, hands-on experience, and make an impact, all while building your resume. Applications for Fall 2026 are now open, with priority deadline being on Friday, April 17th. This has been your WONY Weekly Update on WONY 90.9 FM Oneonta. More information about these events and more can be found on Campus Connections. Have a great week, everybody. Keep it locked.
Yo, DJ Nas from Mark 2 coming in hot. We here hot this morning. Are we here hot this morning? You got to tell me.
Yes.
Yeah, we are. We here. Episode 102. What's in your pocket? I'm excited because, number one, well, I'm excited that you're here. Well, and I'll introduce you in a sec. But I'm also excited that it's going to be like 60 degrees. I'm excited it's going to be 60 degrees today because I like to put shorts on. And I don't like to take the shorts off until October. And I've had to put the pants back on a couple weeks ago starting, and I didn't like it. Today we're here with the amazing Rachel Kornhauser.
Hello.
Is that the correct way to pronounce
that is, yes.
last name? I'm always figuring out how to pronounce people's name. They're like, you don't pronounce it that way. Who works in the Office of Sustainability, correct?
That's correct, yes.
At SUNY Oneonta. There's some fun stuff we're going to do, which always. I'm going to play a couple songs that are fun. I think they're fun, and you're going to think they're fun. We were talking about Rachel's partner in crime, Gavin, mm-hmm. who we all know, Gav, out there who's probably listening. The other day we were discussing this amazing tour that is happening, which is super crazy because we have some stuff here that you've seen, right? So I haven't seen any of these bands. So TLC, who's missing a member,
yes.
which we
feel, you know,
left eye. RIP, left eye. But then we also have En Vogue.
I would love to see En Vogue.
Which is crazy, right? And then the third one
is
with Salt and Pepper, which
is my favorite.
Yeah, which is even crazier. So I haven't seen any of these bands or these acts. I would go, yeah, bands, whatever, acts, and I would love to. And they are on tour. So anybody out there listening, yes, you can go online. And I think tickets go on sale today. So I got to start looking. I don't think the Jones Beach is going to sell out. I mean, that's pretty big, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so I'm looking at the Jones Beach one, which is like a Tuesday in
September.
But
we've got a bus going from Oneonta, so if people want to join.
We've got a bus.
Yeah.
Well, bus meaning my van, which if I put the little kiddie seat back down in the back, I could fit 8 people in there.
It's pretty good.
If it's Gavin, I can fit 14.
Right, yeah.
I can fit 14 Gavins.
Yeah.
And about 7 of me.
Yeah. So, yeah. 7 normal people.
7 normal people in eight. But if anybody wants to go, I will be driving the Vanimal down there to go see this. But you have seen one of these acts before, right?
Yes. I saw Salt and Pepper at the Wingate, Wingate's a high school in Brooklyn in their field. And this must have been in 2010. And it was a crazy lineup of Naughty by Nature, Salt and Pepper, Slick Rick. There was other people
Slick
there
Rick.
Too. And it was so amazing. It was just like standing in a field. Yeah. And it was great. There's a lot of us singing along to Salt and Pepper, which is, you know, especially what I want to do.
No, it's amazing. And I can't wait to do this. So I'm going to, everybody go online, look at tickets. And if you want to go, let me know. I'm going to look at them later on today and try to score these. So there's a couple other New York-based shows. One was the Thursday before that, but it my schedule is not going to allow me to do that. Tuesdays is the night I can actually take off. So when you're a teacher, it's like, not that it's different than when you're a staff member, but I think a staff member is kind of it's like a daily job.
Right, yeah. It's not like when you have class and then you really can't take off
yeah.
that day. Yes.
So that first Thursday is like my informational
big day,
meeting for
yeah.
like a class with 40 people where it's as arranged. So it's like if I don't go to that one, it's like, yo, I don't care about your rock band. I'm going to see Salt Pepper. Like, they're not going to be happy about that. But so, yeah, anyways. I'm going to play a song first and then we're going to come back. So this, I got this not too long ago. En Vogue Lies, I got a maxi single of this. So I'm going to play this first. I got this at the record store downtown by the Jamaican place, which is an interesting joint. If you've ever, have you been in there?
I haven't,
yeah,
which
Gavin's
I can't
been,
believe. Yeah. Whenever I drive past it, I think that's such a gem that I haven't checked out yet.
But, oh, it's wild.
Yeah.
It smells like old albums. You know what I mean? It's
yeah.
like when you go to touch them and then all of a sudden you get like some slightly allergic to like a moldy paper or something like that. I don't know. And the dude who runs is wild. He'll talk about all kinds of crazy stuff. Anyways, I'm going to play this tune, and then we're going to come back and talk with Rachel about all things since conception.
Okay.
Since conception.
as a criminal. It's time to change your attitude. So people really hear me, don't listen. To a funky wild and seeking knowledge that we need. We lie about our hair and we know we got a win. Politicians lie about the things they're gonna do. And everybody chill, affects me and you. I scandalize about the money that you stole. And I don't deal, I'll never tell you how you got it stole. I guess with every tear, what are you trying to say?
Lies. Amazing. Okay, so we were just actually looking at dates, and we it may not be that Tuesday. It may be a Sunday. I don't know. We're going to look around, and I'll make more announcements to everybody. I know Moore's going to want to go, and Gav's going to want to go.
Yes.
So there's going to be limited room in this vanimal. Just saying. Anyways. Okay, so, I have another thing before we get into it. Here's a fun bit of information that I learned yesterday. From watching, I'm not going to call it a doom scroller, but a scroller of scientific things at nighttime.
That often produce doom, senses of doom.
That's right. So when I'm trying to go to bed, I generally watch videos based off of Carl Sagan, Neil deGrasse Tyson, those kinds of things. Because I'm like very interested in the world. Like the earth kind of stuff, right? The scientific parts. The area codes. Before we get into you, area codes. How are the area codes set up, or how were they first originally set up? Because you look at it, and sometimes it seems really random.
Yeah, I have no idea.
So you got 518 for Albany, and then you got 607 for here, right? And then New York City is 212, right? Is that, or is it 212 or
212? Yep, or 718.
Or 7, some of those. So 212. So when they originally set some of these up, if you look at, and I think it was, if you went in a row and you went with New York, L.A., Chicago, right? These areas of the United States are very populated, right? Very populated. So what they were trying to do originally when they set the area codes up, and here's something I learned, was originally when they did it, you had a rotary dial phone, right? So if there was an emergency, right? They want you to be able to dial as quick as possible.
Yeah.
The places where the most emergencies happen are the larger cities.
So they
tried to put the area code as the quickest you could dial it.
Oh, wow.
And
yeah.
I learned this the other day. So like 212.
Yep, yep.
Or 213, right? I think 213 is L.A. or maybe Chicago. And then or 313, like any of those. If you look at like the bigger populated cities, a lot of those area codes are really low.
And at first, this is another interesting fact about area codes is I grew up on Long Island and we used to be all 516. And then when cell phones and people started getting second lines, there was too many 516 numbers, and so they had to create a second area code, which is 631.
631.
Mm-hmm.
That's right.
So that just, like, came out when there was too many people. Like, they couldn't come up with enough numbers for, you know, they took all the numbers for the 516 and they had to create.
All the 516 are done. Then,
yeah, they had to come up with 631 numbers.
It's so wild. But I thought that was a really crazy fact. That's why they set the area code.
It makes sense.
Way.
Yeah.
Because if you look around, you're just like, well, why wouldn't all the twos be here?
Right, right.
You know, or the fives be here or something like that. But that's one of the reasons. Now, once again, I was watching this late at night from a video. This may or may not be correct.
Exactly.
Right. So, but I believe it was Neil deGrasse Tyson actually talking
and
about
And he does
this.
Not lie.
He tries not to lie.
Yeah.
He also doesn't like to admit when he's wrong, but that's okay. He's not wrong very often. Okay, Rachel's here. We're going to talk about all things Rachel before we get into sustainability, right?
Yes.
So tell us from conception.
Okay.
Right, where you were, and then let's talk about from there till...
Do you want to know about the moment of conception?
Well, I don't... Do we know about it? Do you know about it? Did you ever ask the folks about it?
okay.
I guess conception's different. Like, I guess birth would be whatever.
Okay.
The conception's kind of fun.
I'll give you the highlights.
Okay. Highlights from your life up till, let's go pre-Gav.
Okay, pre-Gav, yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I was actually born in Vermont, but I didn't live there very long, only for about 6 months.
Spicy.
And then.
What part of Vermont?
Near my dad worked at Norwich College, so we were in like a small town an hour from Montpelier.
Okay.
Yeah. My dad's a college football coach, and then we moved
really?
To... Yes.
What?
So, yeah. We moved to Stony Brook, where the head football coach at Stony Brook University, and I spent my whole childhood in Long Island. I have an older sister.
Wow. Do you like football?
I've watched a lot of football. I don't really appreciate it. I really like the camaraderie. I really like organized sports and just the excitement about it, but I'm not really into it.
Because that's like a crazy job to have.
Yes, it is a very strange.
That was his job.
That was his job, yes. And so my life was a lot of watching football.
Yeah.
But so I've like absorbed a lot of football, some football knowledge. Every once in a while I can come out with something that's makes sense, but sure. It's not like I'm a football fan.
Okay.
I like sports in general, but mostly I like it for the hot pretzels and the dance in the middle.
That's the dance in the middle and the hot pretzel.
Yes.
You like yourself a hot pretzel?
Yes, or knish. Yep.
Or knish. Mustard?
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mustard is the best condiment as far as I'm concerned. I don't know what's your favorite condiment.
I do like Dijon mustard. I also have to say, I think there's a place for mayo. Like, I'm a little embarrassed to talk about mayo, but I think mayo is a great condiment.
Oh, it's a great condiment. It's great on fries.
And it's good. Yeah, it's very versatile. I think you can add it to any other condiment, like that with mustard, great. That with ketchup, also great. That with barbecue sauce, also works.
That's right. But how do you eat? Are you,
anyway.
Are you vegan still?
No.
You're not. Okay,
no.
You're not vegan. Just
no.
Gav?
Yes.
Okay, so yeah, I just had to ask that. Gav gets worked in here. Gav shouldn't be necessarily part of this conversation, but he gets lumped in.
Yeah.
Just because I had to ask about the vegan thing. Because how would you eat it otherwise? Because it's eggs.
Yes. You can get vegan mayonnaise.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And it's made, I think, with like soy milk.
Soy milk and
yeah,
oil.
But we eat that a lot, and it's actually fine.
Okay.
But this is pre-Gav. So yeah, I grew
That's
up
right.
on Long Island. I went to a big high school. I have an older sister, pets, backyard, you know, that whole thing.
What was the pet's name? Did you have a, what kind of pet?
We had a dog named Pumpkin. And then he was no longer with us. And then we had a dog named Valley. And then we had two cats, Ebenezer and Rita.
Amazing. Ebenezer.
Yeah. He was very grumpy.
I bet. It
yeah.
Sounds like
it. Yes, he was very grumpy. That's how he got that name.
Amazing. Okay, and this is all in the Stony Brook area?
Yep, yep.
Okay, so that's pretty far out there, right? Is that far?
Yeah, it's about an hour and a half from the city.
Okay, yep.
Easy hour and a half.
Straight up L.A.
Yeah.
Right down the middle.
I guess not an easy, it's not like an easy drive, but it could be easily an hour and a half, maybe more.
Oh, yeah, okay, yep. Okay.
But we have an LIRR stop in Stony Brook, so that made it easy to go back and forth.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Okay. And that's still rolling, right? Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay.
So you're there, and you went to high school there.
Yep, went to high school there. I went to summer camp. I'm going to say this because I think this has to do with a little bit of my, like, current job in sustainability. I went to a summer camp in the Catskills that I loved. That was a lot of, like, outdoors, environmental education stuff.
Okay.
We went camping as a family a lot. Yeah, big high school. I graduated with, like, 500 students.
That's huge.
Yeah, like lacrosse, you know, very Long Island-y.
Yep. I haven't hung out. You know, I the only time I ever go to the island these days, I used to go to Farmingdale.
Mm-hmm.
There was a place called the Downtown, which was a very cool venue. And I used to go see a lot of shows there. But the only other reason I went to the island was to go to Fire Island.
Oh, Fire Island's cool.
Which is awesome.
Yeah.
Right. Like, I'll try to go there once every 2 years or so, I can go and hang out for a day or two because it's amazing.
Yeah, we've been to Shelter Island probably more than Fire Island, which is also awesome.
I have not been there.
Yeah, just like a tiny little island where you can't really drive and beautiful. Huh. Yeah. So Long Island, I mean, you can say a lot of things about Long Island, but I think it's also beautiful. We had the beaches real nearby. I always say, like, it's kind of funny. Like, when we were growing up, we would go after school. We would call it sunset, and you'd go and just hang out at the beach. And, like, and you know, on the weekends when you're doing things, you're doing it at the beach, you know? So
yeah,
it wasn't
South,
like,
or North Shore?
North Shore.
Oh, North Shore. Okay.
So it wasn't like we were always sunbathing, but, like, the beach was just a backdrop, and the, you know, the beach parking lots, and, you know, that was just where
party
all of our...
in the parking lot.
Yeah, that's where all of our, you know, shenanigans and, you know, big moments happened.
Sure. Wow. Okay, so you graduate high school there.
I graduate high school, yep, and I went to Binghamton University to college.
Okay, so you go to Binghamton U.
Mm-hmm.
What other schools did you apply to? What were you thinking about besides Binghamton?
I really wanted to go to, like, a Vermont school. I was like, I was born in Vermont, and that's where I'm destined to be. And my parents were like, well, you can go there and pay a lot of money. You know, they were like, or SUNY.
Yeah, right.
So I looked at a couple non-state schools. I think I looked at, like, UMass and UN, University of New Hampshire. And
UNH is a good school.
Yeah. University of Delaware I looked at. But, yeah, I ended up going to Binghamton.
For a degree in?
Well, at that time you didn't have to declare, which I think was the way to go. I kind of always wanted to be study environmental science, and I remember looking at the School of Environmental Science and Forestry at Syracuse, but kind of was like, I don't want to box myself in. So I didn't declare when I first went to Binghamton, but ended up, you know, soon after declaring a degree in environmental studies, which is what I kind of knew I wanted to do going in there.
Cool. And you like Binghamton?
I did, yeah. I liked Binghamton a lot. I actually went with one of my best friends from high school that I, like, grew up with, so that was pretty cool.
Amazing.
And, yeah, had great friends, thought it was a good place, had some great professors, so it was good. And that's where I met Gavin.
That's all Gavin.
Yeah.
Gavin, there's Gavin. Showing up.
Yeah, but...
being crazy. Okay.
But, yeah, a lot happened before him, too.
That's right.
So, so that was... It was a good place.
Awesome. So you go and you get a bachelor's.
I got my bachelor's in environmental studies, and you had to have, like, a specialization. And mine was ecological anthropology.
What does that even mean? Let's talk about this word for a minute.
So, you know, because I'm very interested in how humans interact with the environment. So there was more, like, kind of more like science-based ones, more like geology or geography or... you know, more science-based ones, and mine was more soft science, so some more of, like, the anthropology and kind of how, humans shape the environment and the environment shapes humans.
Yeah.
And so that was cool. I did a great, like, summer course there in Costa Rica, tropical ecology course, and just loved.
You went to Costa Rica for the summer?
Yeah. Only 1 month over the summer, but we took a course there, and it was amazing.
One of my other girlfriends, Jackie, who graduated from here years ago, goes to Costa Rica like 4 or 5 times a year. She loves it.
I've only been that one time, but it was the one place, like, when I was there, I was just like, I have to come back. This place, I just loved it, and I loved being kind of in the... in like the rainforests, like to me, that was just the ultimate. And I've been in some rainforests since then. And you're just like, oh my God, this is everything. You know, like when you can look around and see like monkeys, to me, that's just
it's crazy.
Like, ultimate state of living.
Well, it's not crazy. It's just that
we're so separate from that.
No,
here.
We are. It's like, so my brother lives in Japan.
Okay.
And he has monkeys in his backyard. Yeah, he lives in Gifu, G-I-F-U, which is a smaller thing, but the monkeys are like jerks.
Yeah. And yes, they can become pests too. I've seen that, but
these ones are like a pain in the butt. Yeah. You know? They're like, but literally they destroy stuff, but whatever, but they're like there, but he's like, you know, the monkeys are out and they're like, send videos. Yeah. Like, well, that's your backyard. Yeah. You know, they're like going crazy, but you don't realize it until you're like, oh, I'm in the middle of suburbia here, you know, like in the United States where it's like, oh, we're crazy. Okay, so you go and you get a bachelor's degree in environmental science. I guess that's the name.
Yeah, environmental studies. It was at the time.
Okay.
And then graduated, and I had like a weird job after graduation. I was doing, I actually was like a door-to-door person who was asking people to sign up to give money. And the idea was that I would then open an office to run like my own office in another city where I would tell people to go door to door and raise money for different, you know, nonprofits and stuff like that. But I did that for the summer and I was like, okay, no, I'm not doing this anymore. This is not exactly, I have a series of jobs and I was like, this is going to be great. And it was like, okay, no, this is a terrible job for me. And then I went, I mentioned that summer camp that I went to, it's actually called Frost Valley YMCA. And during the summer, they're a summer camp. And then during the year, they're an environmental education center. So then I moved there and worked there. It's in the Catskills. So there I ran, you know, there was a lot of schools would come up from New York City or different places. And we'd run, you know, hikes and, you know, climbing wall and, you know, just all sorts of getting outside stuff. So that was kind of my first job in environmental education.
Awesome.
Yeah.
And at this point, you're living in...
I'm living there. We like got housed and fed and everything at the camp. Yeah. So I'm living in the Catskills.
And then what happens then?
So I do that for a year, and then I'm like, oh, my boyfriend Gavin lives in Binghamton. Maybe I should move back there with him. So I do.
Gross. Yeah.
So then I move back to Binghamton, and I have another string of, like, you know, improbable jobs. I got a job working at an environmental consulting firm, and I was like, this is it. It's going to be amazing. And it turned out that I was supervising asbestos removal. And I had to do mold tests. So that was not amazing. I lasted like 6 months and then I left. I supervised. There would be people that would be sandblasting asbestos off of bridges in Whitney
Point. You like mesophilia? Because that's how you get it, folks.
And I was supposed to be supervising them to making sure they weren't like violating EPA regulations or killing themselves.
That's
so
right.
That was not fun. Then I worked at a planetarium at the Roberson Museum in Binghamton, which was very cool.
Yeah, that's awesome.
But very part-time.
And what was your job at the planetarium?
I, like, ran the planetarium.
Yeah, that's super cool.
It was awesome, yeah. So that was cool, but also, yeah, it was very part-time, and I only did that for a bit, because then I got a job at the Hillel Academy, a Jewish school teaching science.
Okay.
Which was,
and this
you know,
is with a bachelor's,
which,
right?
Exactly. It was not, you know.
Religious, though, so that they didn't require master's? Was that because it was a religious school?
Well, because
school?
It was a private school,
Private school.
Okay, so they kind of just hired me off of the street, and, you know, I lasted the rest of the year there, but it wasn't anything excellent for anybody, I don't think. But I did it. And then I think that was me. I don't remember if that was 1 year or two. And then I convinced Gavin that it was time to move to the city, which is where all my friends from high school and college had moved at this point.
Yeah.
To New York City. My sister was in the city. So then I got, went to get a master's at Hunter College in earth science education, and Gavin got another bachelor's, in electrical engineering down there. So then we moved down there.
And where in the city were you living?
In Brooklyn.
Okay.
And then I got my degree there and was working at Prospect Park Alliance in the Brooklyn Botanic Garden doing education. That was awesome. I loved that.
That's super cool.
I did that, I don't know, for a year or so. It all gets blurry. But for some amount of time.
Yep.
And that was a really cool program because it was with a local high school in Brooklyn. And on Wednesday, all the eighth graders... Or ninth graders. I think it was ninth graders. Every Wednesday, they spent 2 hours either in Prospect Park or in Brooklyn Botanic Garden for their science classes. And I taught those science classes.
Awesome.
So it was great. Yeah, it was very cool. And again, I got to be outside doing education, right. Which I loved. And then that program got eliminated, or my position got eliminated. And I, you know, at that time was just doing searches for jobs and just like typing in like environment, you know, and seeing what came up. And then I got hired to write like climate change curriculum at an international education organization in Manhattan. Yeah, I see Mark nodding his head like, what does this mean?
Yeah, exactly. Right?
So it was an organization that,
many hats you have.
Yeah. They facilitated cultural exchange, in students in other countries. So basically the program that I was working on was with Qatar in the Gulf. That country, tiny little country, they got like rich really fast off of oil. And the government was basically like, we're rich off of oil. And one day this oil will run out. So maybe we should talk a little bit about climate change. And so they were paying the organization I worked for to write climate change curriculum for them and for the students in Doha, Qatar to have like video conferences with students in the U.S. And then we would facilitate these conferences. So a classroom in the U.S. and a classroom in Doha would talk to each other online. And
what a wild job.
And it was kind of in the early days of this, like, virtual, like, of Skype, you know?
This is, like, mid-2000s?
Yeah, like, probably, like, the starting, like, a 2009, 2010.
Okay. Did you ever go over there?
And then it got even crazier because I went to Doha many times.
Okay.
And then I started working on other projects that this organization had, which was basically going to really remote areas in different countries and setting up live video conferences with the United States. So I'd be like in a tiny village in Malawi with, a friend who has a satellite and a video camera, and they're taping us while we're talking to students in the U.S. about like water. Like drinking water and plumbing and stuff like that.
That's a crazy job.
It was amazing.
I'm sure you got to see a lot of awesome things.
Yeah, but it was very stressful because we were just like in these very remote areas.
Of course.
Like, you know, with not a lot. But it was, you know, really wonderful, and I wouldn't trade it for anything. And I kind of look back now as I'm in this like stationary office job.
Well, this
children.
Is pre-children.
Exactly.
You do things pre-children that you can't do when you have the children, right?
Yeah, so that was wonderful, and I loved it. And then Gavin was like, New York City is not for me. And then, you know, Andres came along and told Gavin about the job at Oneonta, which he got.
So they knew each other?
It's a funny story, and I might get it wrong, but something like Andres knew some of Gavin's friends from Binghamton, and Andres and Casey needed some equipment fixed.
Gotcha.
And his friends were like, I've got this guy in New York City who can fix anything. And they brought him the equipment. I remember when they came to our house and like dropped off this equipment. And then Andres basically called and was like, listening, there's this new position opening up, and I don't know what you do for a day job or if you'd ever want to move upstate, but like you'd be good at it. And at that point, Gavin was like, get me out of here. I want to move upstate. And he was working at the subway as an engineer, which he did not like. So it just seemed like a great opportunity.
That's crazy.
But I was not ready. I was like, leave me in New York City. So I stayed in the city for another few months, and then I moved up to Oneonta, but still worked remotely at my job in the city.
Oh, okay.
For a while.
Yeah, so that's why. So Andres and I, you know, we were in a band together called E-Jody in 2000.
In 2000?
2001. Yeah.
Wow. Really,
yeah, we were in a band together.
Yeah.
That's, I've known Andres forever. So yeah. Super funny. Okay, so, wow, this is crazy. So, so what's really cool is that you both have jobs here.
Well,
which
when
is
we
amazing.
Moved, but when we moved here, I did not have a job.
That's
here.
What I was going to ask. I was saying, like, how does somebody? I was interested, like, how does somebody wind up here in Oneonta?
Right.
Because it's a very interesting area to come to. After a while, most of the time, it has to do with either the hospital
or the college,
right? So, okay.
So we moved. So I was still working in the city, and then I was like, okay, well, if we moved here, I should try to get a job and make friends and not just pretend I still live in New York City, you know? Yeah. So I quit my job and just really started looking for, like, I applied for a million jobs. I applied for a bunch of jobs at the campus. I started teaching. I taught a class at Herkimer Community College. I applied for jobs at Cornell Cooperative Extension, at 4-H, you know, kind of all over. But I reached out to the Department of Geography and Environmental Sustainability here and basically said, you know, how can I get involved? And Dr. Tracy Allen, who was the chair at the time, I had a meeting with him. And, you know, he was going on sabbatical, and he offered me a position to fill his class. So I started adjuncting on campus.
Okay. Yes, I knew none of this.
Yeah, and did that for a couple of years and had some kids and And then I went back to the job in the city and worked remotely. So I was doing a bunch of things. And then when I first started working on campus, I learned about the Office of Sustainability and the position in it. And I told Gavin, I said, that's the job I want. But it was, a younger person in the job. And I was like, she's never going to leave. But I kind of befriended her, had her come to speak in the classes that I taught. And then when she left, she called me and she said, I think you should apply for this job. And it was more facilities based than I have done before, you know, operations based.
Yeah.
So I was like, I'm not sure if I'm qualified. You know, my background's all in education. But she encouraged me, and I got it. And that was, like, 9 years ago.
So that was that long ago?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, Sonia was just one when I got the job, or almost, like, a week before turning one, and she's now nine. So I guess
okay,
8 years.
So you came up here in 2010? No.
Something like that.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't really know.
I'm trying to remember. It's tough for me to remember.
12, 13, I think.
Okay, 12, 13. Union Street, lived on Union Street?
Mm-hmm. Loved Union Street. Our backyard was Wilbur Park. It was awesome.
Yeah, it's a great area right there.
We had an amazing landlord.
Yeah, and then, so that's crazy. So you've been in this job for 9 years.
Yeah.
Okay, so tell us about, this is what I'm really interested in, right? Not that I'm not interested in all the other stuff, which was amazing, finding out all of this crazy stuff, right? Let's talk about what you're doing now, what you've been doing over the past 9 years. Right? Because this is a very cool thing.
So I work, the campus has an Office of Sustainability, and I am the Associate Director of Sustainability here. And what that means is, okay, so...
Can we just use that word first?
Sustainability?
Yeah, people listening who maybe don't understand what's going on here.
Absolutely. So I'll just... When I was first hired, I was told that I would be working on integrating sustainability into operations, engagement, and academics. So basically all of what the campus does. And what sustainability means, you know, we hear about it all the time. You know, it's a bit of a buzzword, but it doesn't always necessarily have meaning behind it. So
sure. The
way I interpret sustainability, and I think that this role does, is it's how kind of this intersection of social justice, environmental health, and economic stability. So people say, like, people, planet, profit, or these three things working together that all have to do with the economy, with society, and with the environment.
Okay. Super cool.
And so I think...
And very much needed.
Yeah. And so what it is it's really like a forward... It's interesting because it doesn't fit into typically on college campuses, you know, things... It's like there's the student affairs group that works with students, and then there's this group, like financial. So our office is in the Division of Finance and Administration. And I think it was originally put there for a few reasons. One, because in the beginning of sustainability work in college campuses or companies, a lot of it was about money savings. So finding electricity rebates, electric upgrade rebates, and seeing ways that we could reduce water and save money. Also, facilities and operations is in the finance and administration division as well. So we work together, although I don't sit in facilities and operations or vice versa.
Okay.
And so, you know, there's a lot of trying to help other offices make decisions with sustainability in mind. So things like purchasing on our campus. So why are you buying it? Is it something that we're going to throw out right away? Is there a better option? Can you save money and can you buy something that's sturdier, right? So there's that sort of thing. And then there's waste management, which is something I'm really interested in and do a bit with. And then there's working with faculty on campus to help them integrate sustainability into whatever department and class they're teaching. Because when you define sustainability as social justice, environmental health, economic stability, I mean, it could be anywhere. It could be in any class, any...
Oh, yeah.
You know, so it's just like helping integrate it around and get people to put this as their mindset.
Yeah, right? No, it's funny. The other day, it was even something so stupid as normally I, at my band, mm-hmm. played for a class, and I have them choose songs from a list. And normally I make a copy of like 40 copies mm-hmm. of the thing and hand it out. And I was like, why am I doing that? I could just put it on the computer and put the screen up.
Uh-huh.
Like, so as opposed to not using the paper.
Yeah.
I also did order a bullhorn yesterday from the music department.
Well, sometimes you just need a bullhorn.
So hopefully we'll be able to use that in the future.
Yeah. I mean, and I, you know, like, I think that people often think of sustainability as like a buzzkill, but
I don't think it is.
Yeah. I really don't see it like that either. I feel like it's making informed decisions and just like, you know, the reason I do this is because I have hope, right? I'm not in this field because I think it's all doom and gloom. And, you know, it's like, no, it's, I want to help people kind of enjoy what we have and, you know, and make it last, right? And to I think that sustainability is kind of the sort of thing that is just making decisions with, like, the community in mind as opposed to just the individual.
So you have a lot of community involvement as well with the job or not? Or just
some community, but it's mostly campus-focused. So it's mostly... and then also at SUNY, we have a lot of SUNY and state mandates. So I work with other SUNY campuses and then kind of like do a lot of reporting to Big SUNY.
To Big SUNY?
Yes.
Yeah, Big SUNY. Albany.
Yeah. So there's there's like state reporting and state mandates from Kathy Hochul, and then from SUNY itself that we that are trying to implement this kind of like wide scale forward thinking change. So things like on your campus, instead of you know, using gas powered snowblowers, trying to move to battery powered snowblowers.
Okay.
So things like that, or lawn maintenance, you know, all things like that. There are parts from SUNY and from the state that they're trying to like filter down to help us make these decisions. There's not always a lot of money behind it to help make these changes, but there's some push from them for us to try.
Awesome. So let's talk about, since you've been in the position for 9 years,
mm-hmm.
Let's talk about the growth of the, I guess I would call it the department,
mm-hmm.
right? And some of the big things that have happened over the past 9 years that you are proud of.
Okay. Well, first, you know...
How big is the apartment?
It's two people. Huh? It was one person. It was just
one
me.
People.
Yeah, it was one people for probably the first 5 years. Okay. And that was really hard. It was really hard to be an office of one, especially when you're an office that's kind of just nudging everybody, right? There's very little I can do on my own. I'm really asking to collaborate with other people, you know? And that's what I like about my job is I get to kind of be all over. And
yeah, that's fun.
But I need other people to help do the work, right? Yep. But then about, I think three-ish years ago, I was able to advocate for a second position in the office. And one of the reasons was because of these additional mandates that were coming down, and also because the thrift shop, which had been on campus for many years, I really advocated that it should come under the Office of Sustainability and that this would be a great, you know, thing for students to be involved in. And for it not to be like a volunteer thing like it had before. So I was able to advocate, like, I can do a lot more student engagement and student stuff with an additional person in the office. So that was huge to get an additional person. It's been a huge help. I have a new person now. We've had two people in the role.
Met yesterday.
Right? Yep. Yeah. Her name is Marty, and she's great.
Shout out to Marty.
Things that have been great. I mean, I think before I felt a lot earlier in the position, I felt like I really had to always justify why this office was here and why I had a job, you know?
Yeah.
And now at this point, I think that I don't feel that as much. And I think that much of the campus has drank the Kool-Aid, if you will, or, you know, just kind of understands why I'm poking my head around and trying to get people to think about sustainability or to make these different, to just think in a different way.
Yeah.
So that's been a big change. I think that people just get it a bit more and they're less resistant to some of the things I'm advocating for. The thrift shop, I'm so proud of.
Yeah, let's talk about this.
Yeah.
Let's talk about the thrift shop because I heard about it, and people were like, oh, you should go to the thrift shop. And I was like, I don't know anything about this.
Tell me
about the thrift shop.
Yeah, so we have a campus thrift shop, and it was started before I started, wasn't my brainchild. It was start by staff. In Netzer, who Laura Emmett, who passed away, she was an admin assistant in finance and administration. Okay. And her and Elaine Lowe, who are still on this campus, had great ideas for a thrift shop that people could just bring in some of their clothes to, you know, share around. And it went through many different renditions with different people involved on campus. I'll shout out Sarah Portway and Bar Gramkumar. Do you remember Bar?
No.
In fashion and textiles, he was great.
Okay.
But it had all these different kind of lives, but there wasn't anybody like directly responsible for it. And so I kind of was like, I'm taking it, you know, and was able to swoop it up. And now we have an amazing location next to Starbucks, and we collect gently used clothes and items geared towards students, so like small housewares for an apartment or a dorm room.
Okay. Yep.
And we collect from the residence halls once a month. We collect from the public or from the campus once a month. And then everything that's on the racks and is in there is pay as you wish. So you can, you know, we have suggested donation prices like $3 for a shirt, but you can pay nothing. You can pay more. And then all that money goes to a scholarship for students involved in sustainability.
That's incredible.
Yeah. So it just feels like one of those real, like, it just makes sense for everybody. And people are into thrifting right now. So it's just really fun.
I've been in thrifting my whole life.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah, I collect old stuff. So, like, you know, you just kind of walk in and be like, oh, that's awesome. Look at this, you know. So if somebody wants to donate to it, what's the best way if somebody's out there in the world, anybody listening? Because people are always like, hey, where should we donate? We have X, Y, Z, you know?
Yes. So the first Tuesday of the month, when school is in session, is when we take donations.
Okay.
And we ask for, like I said, it's clothes and like small housewares geared towards students. It's open for everybody, but like we don't want, you know, we can't take big things because we can't, don't have storage. So we can't take futons. You know, we can take microwaves, you know, stuff like that. Or we can take picture frames. Yeah. But also like no sheets, bedding, underwear, socks.
Yep.
We don't do pajamas.
Okay.
But otherwise, yeah, we'll take whatever we don't put on the racks, we'll donate, you know, further down to other textile recycling.
Oh, okay. Awesome. And this is in Hunt Union.
Hunt Union,
right?
Yep.
Second floor. First floor.
First floor, right next to Starbucks. And we're open from Tuesday to Friday from 12:30 to 5, and on Saturday from 12 to 3.
That's amazing. And do our student workers there?
Yes.
Yeah, that's even awesomer.
Yeah.
Right? All the good things.
Exactly, yeah. So it just kind of, it's just a great, it's really fun. And then we do, another thing that I'm proud of that has to do with the thrift shop is a big move-out program that we do at the end of the year. So we collect literal tons of items from the residence halls when students are moving off campus.
Oh,
and
yeah,
we bring them to the reuse center.
Oh, I saw the reuse center's right around the corner from
right.
where I live. So
yep.
I know of this thing. And people mob that place.
Oh, yeah.
It's crazy.
Yeah. So we, it's a huge job. And it's kind of like every year I'm like, oh, my, you know, but we go around, we pick up van loads of stuff, bring it to the reuse center, sort it. And we get lots of volunteers to help sort it. And then we have, one day we have nonprofits come and we say it's a, nonprofit. They can come and take whatever they want. So these are high schools that come for things for their like lending closet at school. It's, you know, caseworkers getting clothes or book bags or, the ASPCA getting office furniture, you know, like, so nonprofits come and get first dibs. And then the next day we have a free sale to the community and it's mobbed. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. People, that's the mob one. Yeah.
People line up, you know, hours in advance. And at the end of the day, it's, everything is gone.
Yeah.
And it was tons of items, like 5 tons of things.
No,
you know?
It's crazy because I'm like, oh man, it's that thing today. I avoid that area. Not that I, you know, but I think it's amazing. And the reuse center is amazing.
The reuse center is great, and I work with them a lot. They're really
they
do
awesome.
A lot of cool stuff.
I go there quite frequently, just because once again it's around the corner, so I go about every 2 weeks.
And if you're looking for old stuff, I mean, they just have such gems. You never know what you're gonna get.
You never know what you're gonna find there. But I always find a cool album. It's like the vinyl selection there's really funny. You gotta spend a while looking through stuff.
Yeah.
But there's always, actually the couch in my living room came from
there. Mm-hmm.
You know, it was like, they have, and they do a good job of keeping things relatively clean.
Yeah.
And kind of, you know, and there's 2 buildings too,
mm-hmm.
which is super awesome. So on with the couple minutes we have left,
mm-hmm.
Tell us anything important going on this semester in the last month.
Ooh, yes. Well, April is coming, and April is Earth Month, so we have lots of stuff going on.
Okay.
We have Green Dragon Week, which is, you know, like celebration of Earth Day. And this year, we're moving it to Green Dragon Weeks. So it's 2 weeks.
Oh.
It's April 20th through the week. The next week. And so a few things to mention. We have a farmer's market program, which I'm also one of my favorite things. So I believe it's April 18th and then it's like May 2nd. So on each of those days, we'll be at the Oneonta Farmer's Market giving out coupons for students to use at the market.
Super cool.
So check those out. The Oneonta Farmer's Market is great. It's 9 to noon. I believe it's moving, you know, to Deet Street outside in April.
Yep.
And then we have the CGHK lecture, which is kind of a big endowed lecture that we have each year. And we have a guy, Ethan Tapper, coming. He's a forester, and he's talking about kind of like things to learn from trees. And he's got a big social media following and is kind of has a unique way to look at the environment. So that's on April 29th. He'll be leading a nature walk that day, which I'm really excited about. We're going to be doing our green commute events again. So if you commute by carpooling, walking, you know, using the bus. You can come get coffee and donuts. We'll be doing that a few days. We've got a bunch of stuff going on that week. Oh, there's a green career networking event that the Career Planning and Networking Center is putting on. I'm working with the Women in Gender Studies to host a documentary screening about queer climate justice. And all sorts of things. So
super cool.
Yeah.
You're busy.
Yeah.
So if we want to get a hold of you or the Office of Sustainability, how do we do that?
Sustainability@oneonta.edu.
That's easy.
Or my office is on the second floor of Hunt Union. Stop by. You could always pop in the thrift shop when it's open and talk to one of the students there.
Is there a social media account for any
there
of these?
There is, yes. Okay. On Instagram, we're Oneonta_sustain.
Very cool.
And we have a...
I'll put a link in my thing today, too, for that,
the
everybody.
Thrift Shop 1-2, I think, is Red Dragon Thrift Shop.
Oh, there's a Thrift Shop 1-2?
Yes.
Okay, so I'll find these and put it in the link. Super cool. So, I want to thank you for coming on.
Thank you. Yeah, thanks for listening to me talk. I like to talk about things. So sorry we didn't get to play too much music, but this was fun.
Oh, it's fine. I'd rather talk than play tunes. So I'm gonna play a tune kind of going
outro.
Out here. An outro. Tomorrow we have the wonderful Sarah Simpson.
Yes.
Coming on and talking about. It's awesome that I had some people that work up on campus here to talk about the art gallery, which is. I walk through all of the time. Every time I walk through that area, because I go to the, it's art, theater, music, right? Mm-hmm. So I walk in, I'll see they're there, and then I walk through sometimes the hallway, and I call it the hallway of thespians. They're always out there, like, practicing their, like, little the plays and stuff
yes,
like that.
Yes, right outside the theater.
And I sing that little song, Hallway of Thespians, as I go through it, which I love. And I love you all. It's not a knock on anything. It's I love you. I love the thespians. I love this building in general. So I'm excited to have Sarah on tomorrow, and we're going to talk about the gallery.
Yeah,
and
she's done great work with.
Oh, amazing. She's also on the board of Kano with me.
Oh, you know? Nice. Yep.
So, I'm looking forward to having her on, because I don't know anything about her. I know nothing about her.
Well, now
talked to her like three times.
Yeah. Oh, really? Yeah. Oh, nope. No, she's great. And she did some sustainability stuff with us. So
amazing.
Yeah. Yeah.
So remember, everybody, we need to sustain as much as possible.
Yes. Long-term thinking. Think about the group, not just individuals.
That's right. The group. The needs of the many are more important than the needs
it's
of the
one.
Right?
Yep.
Yeah. The Spock, the quote there or whatever. So I'm going to play a little... Salt and pep on the way out here.
Yes.
You ready?
I'm ready.
And I'll see everybody tomorrow. Episode
103
tomorrow. I don't even know. It's like I'm getting. This is it's the never ending show of awesomeness. Rock and roll, everybody. Here's some salt and pepper for you all.
To let it get me involved in that he said, she said crowd. I know that ain't nobody perfect. I give props to those who deserve it. And believe me, y'all, he's worth it. So here's to the future, cause we got through the past. I finally found somebody that can make me laugh. You so crazy. I think I wanna have your baby.